Good morning, friends. As you find your way to your seats, always welcome to bring in a hot beverage, or a cold one, I guess, if you bring that one from home. Welcome into this space and online. Pastor Matt is our colleague, Brandon Austin, who's the pastor of Davis United Methodist Church, had an accident back some months ago when he was helping his mom in Tennessee. Fell off the roof. He's okay, but he's banged up for many, many weeks. And so folks have been volunteering on Sunday mornings to bring the word. So Pastor Matt is sharing my message. Somehow he always gets that into the stick, you know? My message at Davis UMC while I'm sharing it here with all of you all. So we pray for him there. I want to open us, though, also with a word of prayer. So let's be in a moment of silence as we hold the exchange of hostages that is happening so far from here, but deep and close in, I know, many of our hearts and minds. So let's have a time of silence, and then I'll close us with prayer. For those hostages who have been released, we are grateful. For those who remain, we pray God's healing mercy. Keep our hearts open, God, and caring for all of God's children everywhere in the midst of warring adults. In your mercy, we know that all things come together for good, but sometimes it is hard to see that. So open our eyes to the goodness in the midst of the violence so that we might be part of your new world here and everywhere. Let the people say amen. I invite us to rise wherever we are.
By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. God's been my bread when I was hungry. He's been my company keeper every time I get a little lonely. By the grace of the Lord, I've come along. I need Jesus. said, I need Jesus to live me.
You are the one who has brought our Lord Jesus Christ again to life from the dead. You are the one who, by your summoning imperative, has caused the worlds to be. You are the one who, by your faithfulness, has given a son to our vexed mother Hannah. You are the one who has the will and power to begin again, to start anew. You are the only self-starter whose name we know. And so we bid you, start again. Start here. Start now. Start with us and our school. Start with your mercy, and with your justice, and with your compassion, and with your peace. Make the world new again, and young again, and innocent again. Start before it is too late. Amen.
I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can sing so God can use me
anywhere,
anywhere,
anytime.
I'm gonna pray so God can use me
anywhere,
anywhere,
anytime,
anytime. I'm gonna pray so
We got this. I'm feeling really chilly, so I'm like shivering, but trying to warm myself up. So I'm like, I love cold, but I'm from tropics, so. Okay, welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome those gathering online at table.live. My friend Steven Starr is hosting today, and he will be taking care of all of you if you have any questions. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. Please note, the California International Marathon will take place next Sunday, J Street, Fair Oaks Boulevard, and the Bridge at Sac State will all be closed Sunday morning. If you plan to attend in person, check your route before coming. In addition to our two regular Sunday morning worship service here at the table in Sacramento, we will have a pop-up advert worship next Sunday evening. The evening advert worship will begin at 5 p.m. in the sanctuary at Davis United Methodist Church. All are welcome. All means all. We would love to see anyone who lives in Davis or Woodland. Please invite and welcome anyone you know who might be interested in connecting with a new expression of the table at Yolo County. Our annual charge conference will follow worship. I also like to say thank you for each and everyone for volunteering, and I have seen people signing up, and I love that, and I just enjoy that. And today, out of most Sundays, I have been seeing people who have been away for quite some time, and there are a handful of you all, and I felt so grateful seeing, and that gives me so much happiness and joy. And that's God's joy and God's happiness that we all spread around here. And I love you all, and we love each other. I invite you to remain seated as we continue to worship with our music team sharing an original song from Solabelle's new album. This is Ghost Town. Okay, strength, courage. From your dairy. I'm sorry.
That may follow, always putting off my living for tomorrow. It's time to step out on faith. I gotta show my faith. I've been elusive for so long, but freedom is mine today. I've gotta step out on faith. to show my faith. Procrastination had me down, but look what I have found. I found strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage, and wisdom inside of me. Pride that lives in me, that knows humility. Inside my voice there lives a soul, and in my soul there is a voice. But I've been too afraid to make a choice, cause I'm scared of the things that might be missing. Running too fast to stop and listen. But I gotta have faith, and I'm sure my faith. It's been elusive for so long, but freedom is mine today. I'm gonna step out on faith. It's time to show my faith. Procrastination had me down, but look what I have found. I found strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. I found strength, courage, and wisdom inside. Things that I want to see, cause I know that I'm open in my heart. I know that anything I want can be. So let it be.
So let it be.
So let it be.
So let it be.
So let it be.
My name is Bob Martinez, and whether you're online or you braved the chill this morning and are here in person, welcome to the table. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians help us with some walking music. We remind families that we do receive an offering in godly play, which will be going to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing, unfortunately, homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout worship. And godly play takes place upstairs and is designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from Haggai of the Hebrew Bible, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version and we invite you to follow along. And on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius, and in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, says the Lord of hosts, and the gold is mine. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." The last few weeks we've been sharing, to our good fortune, some wonderful songs from the new album by our very own Solabel. And we're going to continue that little tradition. And this is a song, a collaboration between Hannah and our very own Tim. You know, the sad thing around us, there are a lot of our brethren, a lot of our sisters that continue to experience homelessness. And you can certainly empathize on this cold, chilly morning. So this song is a very special perspective, a powerful one, and it's called Ghost Home.
As lips meet teeth, a voice did speak, but it was hushed by the wind. No one to listen as shapes float by. I tried connecting, they just keep walking. I am a ghost of all the things that might have been. You're just afraid of becoming what I am. The ghost of all the places you could be. I am invisible.
I am a ghost of all the things I could have done.
we the same? Do our bones break? Do our hands shake? Do our hearts ache? Aren't we the same?
Aren't we the same?
Do our bones break?
Do our bones break?
Do our hands shake?
Do our hands?
Do our hearts ache? Aren't we the same?
Aren't we the same?
Do our bones break?
Do our bones break?
Do our hands?
Do our hands?
Do our hearts ache? Aren't we the same? Do our bones break? Do our hands shake? Do our hearts ache?
Hearing those words from the Hebrew scriptures from the prophet Haggai, that prophet has no patience for nostalgia. Those to whom Haggai is speaking in that, what we heard Bob read, though, are looking in the rearview mirror. And they long for the good old days when Solomon's temple was still standing and it was full with the hustle and the bustle of life. They were all about remembering. Haggai says, this house in its former glory. And leaders know that nothing is quite that simple. But the people don't dwell on the details. They just remember the past through their rose-colored glasses, as people are apt to do. Like, I remember when, you fill in your blank, those were the days, right? So God listens for a hot minute to all of this, but then through Haggai strongly urges them onward. A better temple is coming, God says. Take courage, keep working. Not only is a better temple coming, but I will be with you. Remember how I brought you out of bondage, out of Egypt? Do not fear, let's go. Or as my grandson says, let's go, Grandma. Haggai is one of four minor prophets we are lifting up this month in our series From Judgment to Hope, based on the writings of Walter Brueggemann. And while conservative interpreters might believe that prophets were predictors, and progressives tend to believe the prophets to just be simply social advocates, Dr. Brueggemann argues that the prophets were emancipated imaginers of alternative. The worship series over just when I get that down to be able to say and think during the week. What does it look like right now to be an emancipated imaginer of alternative? Emancipated from the dominant thinking of their societies, the prophets imagined an alternative reality and invited the listeners, their audiences, to join them in their commitment to that new reality. Haggai is one of the shortest books in the Old Testament, just two chapters long. Haggai delivers four prophecies in 4 months, and those slightly jumbled dates we leave those in that Bob read for us that begin this reading serve to remind us that we proclaim a God who actually acts through human history, and who is understood through actual human voices that live in actual communities in history. And the prophet Haggai is one of those voices, and he shares a combination of words about Israel's political presence and words about God's future for a people who long for things to go back to how it used to be. And I get it. I long for the past sometimes too. Do you know that concert tickets used to cost $8.50? There was no StubHub. There was one guy, Bill Graham, right? Yes. I long for music. Remember when it was either on a record, a cassette, or the radio? That was the only delivery systems, or live. I long for the past because I feel like there were less guns then. I don't know if that's totally true, but I checked some of the statistics. It seems true, and I long for a time when access to guns by young, confused, angry, mostly white males wasn't all that easy. I believe we can change this, but it is a challenge. We just, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Run to Feed the Hungry was under a threat for a whole week from a forwarded email, and the FBI had to come in and work with our police officers, and boy, was there a larger presence. We've got to change some things. But I don't long for the past. When I think about civil rights, I don't long for the past when I think about gender roles and norms. I don't long for the past when I think about religious affiliation. As Dr. Willie James Jennings and others have pointed out, colonialism and Christianity have become so intertwined, it's hard to unwind them one from another. I don't long for a time when the radio hosts had all the power and wouldn't allow music from people of color to even be played on their airwaves. I don't long for a time when the music you heard or sang in church only came from hymnals. I do not want to go that backwards. The prophet Haggai sees that the people are actually going nowhere, which is ultimately the same as going backwards. They are working on their own houses instead of God's house. And Haggai is telling them the time is now to remember not how things used to be, but to recall God's promise and recommit to their building project, both of the temple and their commitment to praising God in it as human beings, their commitment to growing deeper in their faith. Matt's friend, Dr. Steve Davidson, writes this. Haggai rallies the community for the task of restoration of the temple precisely because the temple serves a critical function in the community. Haggai sees God's honor as the pressing argument for the restoration of the temple, not merely because God needs a house to reflect such honor, but rather because the state of the building reflects the people and their relationship with God. How are the people and their relationship with God reflected in our buildings? No matter how hard we try, we can't get all the cobwebs. Week to week, I've tried. What critical function does this church provide, if any, for the community? On Thursday, we had, I don't know how many, hundreds of people using our bathrooms and having water and warm water and cold water and camping out on our lawn as they met friends. This was a great place to meet up for Run to Feed the Hungry. But what other critical functions does this church provide, if any more, for our community? And what does the temple, a new temple, look like for today? 15 years ago, when we started the table, there were buckets in the sanctuary. I kid you not. They were here, those 5-gallon ugly Home Depot bucket things, for the rainwater. And the bathrooms were only for able-bodied persons, and there was no air conditioning anywhere in the building. None. Like, seriously. We've taken many steps to repair and upgrade the facility because we want our buildings to reflect the needs of all of God's children, but we have more work, we know, to do on this temple. At the same time all of that was happening, we imagined one community in one space. I'm preaching to people that I cannot physically see right now. Pandemic changed the form of what community looks like. The new temple is in person and online. Our discipleship system, Growing in Faith, was built for an in-person experience. I mean, one of the best parts, even though I wrote the thing, is Matt's food. And sometimes Sarah's. We need to rebuild it for the new ways people interact with our community so that we are relevant in this age and not the last one. 15 years ago, all the music, this will blow your mind, all the music we shared together came out of either the Methodist hymnal or The Faith We Sing. Those are those books that have dust on them in the pews. But they're there in case all the power really does go out. That's where we got all of our music. And we would open the pages and we're like, Brendan, can you make this, I'm going to use a hard word, suck less? Right? Yeah. Now we write our own music that rises out of our common experience of living in the Sacramento area. Because of pandemic, we made a major pivot that we do not want to ever lose. We're keeping our hands in the soil, close to the earth, tending soil alongside neighbors and growing food to share with neighbors through an interfaith food bank. We practice our faith here at the table in this way so that we remember that all of God's creation began with Adama, the ground of our being. We also know that bigger than us, the institution itself is failing. It's failing more quickly than many want to acknowledge. There was a time when the majority of the volunteer workforces, not just in churches, in our country, schools, everywhere, were populated by women who stayed home and cared for the household while their partners worked outside the home. This provided communities of faith with essentially full-time, really smart, fabulously available volunteers in their prime vocational years. Thankfully, that whole framework is dissolved into a new way of doing life, but we have churches that still try to function as if this is not so. All of this, all of it, is failing and falling apart faster than I believe anyone expected, and the shift was exasperated by a global pandemic. And in some ways, it seems we are coming like full circle back to where the founders of Methodism, the movement which gave rise to the table so many years ago, began. Haggai's point is that the people are looking back and reminiscing on what was, and by looking back to what they were unable to, when they did that, they're unable to see how God is moving right now in their midst, in their day. And Haggai wants to focus them on the structures that give shape to their life together in ways that are life-giving. And in their day, the temple was the primary structure for shaping life together as God's people. We come out of a tradition in the Methodist world in which the founders of what became known as the Methodist movement, it was a movement within the Anglican Church of England, were concerned that the people of faith in their day were looking back and thus becoming a dead sect instead of leaning into where God was with them right then. So they did really radical things in their day. When the Methodist movement first began to form in the 18th century, now, this is really good history for us to remember. Psalms and chants were the only forms of music permitted. Okay? This is the 18th century. Charles Wesley, who was one of the founders, co-founder with his brother John, along with a handful of others, played a key role in introducing hymns that put into everyday words, I know they seem stilted now, but back then, everyday words and phrases, the themes of faith and the experiences people of their day were having with God's grace. If you ever do pick up one of those dusty hymnals that are in the pew, and you look at that in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see themes. It's divided that way, and social holiness, and grace, and thanksgiving. There are all different sections of hymns. And we tend to think of hymns today as the music of the church that was passed down through the generations. And while that's true to some degree, the hymns were also contemporary in their day and very controversial when they were written. Let me step back for a moment and invite us to differentiate two really important terms. And we said this before, so I'm going to say it again. Custom and tradition. Terms we tend to use interchangeably, especially in the church. Diana Butler Bass writes about tradition in this way. There's a definition of tradition that is more like a custom. People have to do things the exact same way that they've done them in the past. That's a static view of tradition. It's an accepted view of tradition. People certainly understand that rather broadly, tradition is what people have always done. But there's another definition of tradition that is becoming more widely spread in the culture, and that is understanding tradition itself is flexible and fluid. Tradition is something you appropriate, you live into, and you work with, sort of like the clay of the past. It's not like a statue in the museum, but it's more like the material of the art itself. In that view, a tradition creates all kinds of possibilities. It opens up the future, and in the emergent congregations, both in the mainline and in evangelicalism, they tend to lean into that view of tradition. Tradition is to be played with by the congregation, and it's not just a museum piece that you have to preserve at all costs. To be sure, especially those holding positional power in the Anglican Church totally resisted this re-traditioning. I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you something really radical. We didn't have sweet potatoes on Thursday. We had Sarah's squash. Same color, different. Some people missed the sweet potatoes, but not me. Mm-hmm. See, when you have a fixed view of tradition, you can kind of hear people, especially church people, that's who I know the best, so that's who I pick on the most. We only sing psalms from scripture. We only chant because this is what we've always done, right? It's the only music of praise that's worthy of God in our tradition. See, they were concerned that those new hymns that Charles Wesley was writing in the 1800s about his own experience with grace were, and these are direct quote, too enthusiastic. They were too passionate. In those early decades of the Methodist movement, hymns were not allowed in the Anglican sanctuaries. They were relegated to be shared out in the fields in those tent revivals with those methodical people. Today, we tend to imagine hymns as the music of the church, but in those early days, Wesleyan hymns reflected a retraditioning that actually challenged the church to evolve and meet people not in a rose-colored past, but in the present. Diana Butler Bass continues, in its more fluid forms of rejuvenation, adaptation, and invention, retraditioning implies reaching back to the past, identifying practices that were an important part of that past, and bringing them into the present, where they can reshape contemporary life. In this mode, congregations will tend towards reflexivity, a willingness to change through engagement with tradition, and an equal willingness to change the tradition through engagement. Reflection, thoughtfulness about practice and belief, and risk-taking. The Anglican Church in Wesley's day resisted the kind of reflexivity, reflection, and risk-taking which the new hymns embodied. They wanted the church to stay the way it was, to sing only hymns and psalms and chants, because the tradition should not, I use that word, should, not be changed. They didn't want the church to be reflexive, reflective, and risk-taking. They wanted it to be the way it always had been. Ironically, When new people find their way to the table today, having grown up in or been shaped by mainline, you know, churches like United Methodist, Presbyterian, and Lutheran, the very hymns which were once banned and relegated to fields and revivals instead of sanctuaries are now what people reminisce about. Does that make sense? Often, I would say, with rose-colored glasses. And thus, mainline churches today are more akin to the Anglican Church of the 18th century, a church the Wesleys loved but feared would become a dead sect instead of an alive, reflective, risk-taking witness to the good news of God's wild and untamable, enthusiastic grace. And so we could try to go back to what was, like many in places of positional power in Wesley's day recommended, or we could learn from the ways the Wesleys leaned deep into the moment of their day, and like Haggai, who leaned deep into the moment of his day to discern God was calling them to a more radical expression of faith, which would require they let go of some old customs, which they've imagined to be fixed expectations, and live instead from a posture of reflexivity, reflection, and risk-taking. I think about my yoga teacher who used to remind us that when you stand with 2 feet just fixed together, you're really easy to push over. But when you have your legs one behind the other in a runner's start, you are stronger and ready to move. Many of those old line churches have seen their attendance drop by 50%. They imagined everyone was going to come back after pandemic. But it's becoming hard for them to hold on to this hope. It's been some years now. Our weekly in-person worship attendance has dropped from 259, that was pre-pandemic, to 196 this year. Ours is a 24% decrease. So we could imagine God wasn't with us and pine for those old days. Or we could realize that every Sunday we average 42 or more individual or families, it's really hard to figure that out, watching units, whatever that means, joining us live online and wonder about, how do we need to grow so that this delivery system is more alive, more reflexive? How do you take risks when you're fixed to a microphone here, but people are watching and listening later online? I remember how quickly and rapidly we made shifts when it was critical and early in global pandemic, and how quickly we have then settled into certain routines and customs. So it is our sense that Haggai's word for us today is inviting us as a community of faith not to look back and reminisce on what was, but to pay attention to the structures that shape God's vital life-giving community for this day. So when Haggai asks, "Who's left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look now?" We're inviting our community here in Sacramento to imagine some new ways of doing church in the coming months as we continue to lean in with the farm and as we welcome a bakery into this space. Ezekiel is coming in the next week or so to bake. As we lean more fully into our kitchen tables and as we wonder about having a worshiping community out in Davis that we will be connected with and intimately woven together with. And in Davis, we're wondering about the same thing out there. How do we lean more fully into their garden? They have an orchard. And how do we join together with the method and Methodism to make this all work? We don't have Charles Wesley in our midst today, but we're wondering about our music team's collaborative style. And it might just be akin to the kind of radical shift Charles Wesley's hymns offered the church generations ago. We've heard some of the music from Solabel's new album these last 4 weeks in worship, and we're looking forward to a writing retreat. We're all going away for a few days in January to lean more deeply into the kinds of questions I've been pondering with you this morning. In our Whiting retreat, we're going to focus on service music. How might you write music for prayer time, for welcoming, for sending forth? How might you come up with a new communion setting? Right? We could look back and see with rose-colored glasses. Or with Haggai, we can pay attention to where God is calling us. And with Charles Wesley, write new songs with passionate expressions, enthusiastically saying our sense of God's movement in our lives and in the world. It makes sense to me to have songs when you live in Sacramento that talk to us about homelessness, just for example. We do this work, not knowing what will come. That's the hard part. But hoping that God will fill our houses of worship with splendor that shall be greater than the former. Let's say amen. Amen. Dr. Walter Brueggemann invites us, all of us, whatever color our glasses are, but with our questions and our wonderings about how we might be God's people moving and reflexive and attentive today, he invites us to come to the table with this framework. Jesus presents an entirely different kind of economy, one that is infused with the mystery of abundance and a cruciform kind of generosity. See, he was different too. 5,000 were fed, 12 baskets of food left over, one for every tribe of Israel. Jesus transforms the economy by blessing it and breaking it beyond our self-interest. From broken Friday bread comes Sunday abundance. So let us stand as we are able, in body or in spirit. And let us join our hearts and voices in this prayer of confession. Save us, Lord, from a religion that ignores the cries of the exploited and oppressed. Lead us into a deeper faith that challenges injustice and makes the sacrifices that must be made to build a society that is ever more truly human. Amen. And hear these words of assurance also from Dr. Brueggemann. God, whose giving knows no end, make us glad recipients of your generosity. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to remember your abundance that we might share it with all the world. Let's say amen. And with the ancient greeting that we have learned, or maybe you're going to experience for the very first time, that we recognize one another as God's neighbor, right? We pass the peace in this way just to our neighbor. Don't bowl anyone over, especially new people. Be kind. May the peace of Christ be with you. Amen. Things are sent from heaven above, rain and sun, day and night, justice and righteousness, bread to the eater and seed to the sower. peace to the old, energy to the young, joy to the babies. We are takers who take from you day by day, daily bread, taking all we need as you supply, taking in gratitude and wonder and joy, and then making more, taking more than we need, taking more than you give us, taking from our sisters and brothers, taking from the poor and the weak, taking because we are frightened and so greedy, taking because we are anxious and so fearful, taking because we are driven and so uncaring. Give us peace beyond our fear, and so end our greed. Turn our taking into giving. Since we are in your giving image, make us giving like you, giving in joy, not taking, giving as your love is given for us all, given and never taking. Amen. Because our life comes from God, and we yield it back to God in prayer. Prayer is a great antidote to the illusion that we are self-made.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
To participate in the Eucharist is to live inside of God's imagination. It is to be caught up into what is really real, the body of Christ. Us into prayer together with the words that Jesus shared long ago that have been passed through the generations, named by the church the Lord's Prayer. And this is a paraphrase from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on the gifts that are here before us, the bread and the cup, and make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those at home or wherever you are to bring close to you the bread and the juice that you are using for communion this morning. For those of us who have gathered in this space, we share this meal in the front and in the rear of the sanctuary. There is a platter that has bread that was baked for us this morning and a small dish that has crackers that don't have gluten in them. And in the cup is grape juice, always in our tradition. The way we share this meal is to invite you to take a piece of bread off of the plate and to dip it in the cup of juice. We want everyone to remember that each week there are people among us for whom this is something very different and new. We also know that many among us, this is a life practice, and so we watch over one another in love. You can't make a mistake at all. You really, really can't. Just watch what is going on around you. Move as you feel led. And for some of us, that means staying right where we are in the pew. For some of us, it means moving to pray at the candles, either kneeling or standing, that surround our sanctuary. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken for all of you. Thanks be to God. This is the cup of God's new covenant, poured out for all of us, for the forgiveness of sin and for all the world and all of creation. Let's say amen. For those of us who are praying, stay as long as you like. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of your creation. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to respond to God's love by giving generously in support of our ministries here at the table. Your giving makes our ministries here possible, as do our deep commitments, and helps with our community of faith to align with God's awe-inspiring, enthusiastic energy out in the world. Thank you for practicing your faith by being a person who is generous. Our Rise Up OG loaves are for sale each week, a few of them. For the rest of us, they are there for, if you have pre-ordered, to pick up. Remember that if you would like to pre-order for the month of December, you may do that. It's easy, and it's through our Church Center app, and Andy or whomever is out by the table can help you if you would like to do that. And I don't know why it took me this long to figure it out. You can order more than one loaf a week. So I'm like, Christmas, people, large children at home. So pre-order online today, and then that order closes until those orders for January. Please note, and this is important for those of us who are here in person and choose to be next Sunday, it's the California International Marathon. And we're sort of like an island in the marathon. So J Street, Fair Oaks Boulevard, the bridge at Sac State are all closed before you're on your way here. So if you want to come in person, check your route before you come. And we will be sending an email on Friday that has a link to the map of CIM. But just please remember that it does always every year catch people off guard. In addition to our two regular Sunday morning worship services here at the table next Sunday, we will have a pop-up Advent worship in the evening out at Davis UMC. We're so excited. We're going to make it similar. So if you don't come in the morning and want to come in the evening, it's the same thing is what I'm trying to say to you. It's the first Sunday of Advent. It is here. And so we will be celebrating that in the sanctuary at Davis UMC, and all are welcome, and all means all, and we would especially extend that invitation to you if you live in Davis or Woodland or Dixon and in that area, because we know some people religiously drive in. So please invite and tell your friends who live out there. This would be a time when you can get to church easily. Our annual church charge conference will follow worship, which will be a short business meeting. So I invite you now to stand in body or spirit as our music team sends us out with their own arrangement, speaking of This Little Light of Mine. I love this.
Let it shine. sister's soul. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
In my brother's heart,
in my brother's heart.
Yeah.
Let it shine,
shine, shine, shine.
In my brother's heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let it shine,
let it shine.
In my brother's heart.
We come together, we worship, we gather in kitchen tables, we reach in love, not knowing all the time what will come of it. 15 years ago, we thought we wouldn't worship as a big group and we would be in little house churches. What were we thinking? Sometime we may look back today and say, what were we thinking? It's easy to go across the causeway and back. We could do this, whatever it is, with this music team, with your hearts, your spirits, and God's help. We are in this together. Go in peace. Amen.
Shine, shine, shine.